Linux fans. Welcome to Destination Linux episode 4. I'm Rob.
And I'm Rocco.
How's it going, Rocco?
Well, it's going, Rob. There's some white stuff out there right now.
Tell me about it. I woke up to 8 inches of that white stuff this morning.
Well, I don't have that much. I only have about an inch on the ground, but it is snowing still, so I guess it'll be that way for a while.
Well, where I live, you know, we could get one, maybe two snowfalls a winter, and that's about it. Sometimes we'll get a little ice. I'm kind of in the foothills of the North Carolina mountains, and so we're not really prepared. I mean, you know, we don't have snow blowers, things like that. You know, here at my house, I have a 13-year-old with a shovel.
Right.
So we'll be snowed in for a while, but that's kind of fun at times, you know.
Well, see, that's why I always say life's a garden. Dig it.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So, Rob, we got some changes going on here.
Yes, okay? We do. Yes.
For the better. For the better. So we are changing our podcast over from SoundCloud to a company called Podomatic. And so the RSS feed is going to change, but it's actually going to allow us to continue doing the podcasts and not kill the wallet.
Right, that's right.
So because what happens is SoundCloud allows you to do two episodes, basically, for what we do, two episodes, and then it hides all the rest of the episodes. So as we go along, like this is the fourth episode now. So now once we upload this, the first two will drop off where they won't be searchable anymore. And we kind of want to make them so that they're available no matter where you're at or no matter how long time goes by. So we are switching over to Podomatic, which will give us more flexibility in that area.
Right.
And we are going to, from this episode on, start posting this podcast on the Destination Linux YouTube channel.
Yes.
Rather than our own separate channels. So we will probably do some kind of, notice on our channels saying that there's a new episode on Destination Linux, but the videos will no longer pop up in the Big Daddy channel or the Linux Quest channel.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think some way we need to just let viewers know, because not everyone's listening to the podcast. And so if we don't post something on the channel like we have in the past to say, hey, move on over to Destination Linux YouTube channel for the podcast, then, our goal here is to try to avoid confusion. And we had folks who didn't know whether to post on your channel, on the Big Daddy channel, or on the Linux Quest channel. And
right.
So we want a central place for that. And then, Rocco, if you would, just share the email address for comments and things like that.
For the podcast itself, the podcast page will be nextdestinationlinux.podomatic.com. And we'll put the links in the description and the notes. The RSS feed we will put in there as well. The YouTube channel can be found by... It doesn't have an actual name. It's just a username. So it'll be Destination Linux. And the email will be comments@destinationlinux.tech.
Very good. Very good. So our hope there, and of course, with the RSS feeds and everything pointing to iTunes and to Stitcher, you should still be able to download the podcast in your favorite podcast app, correct?
Yep. You'll still be able, the RSS feed was accepted, so you'll still be able to get it. We'll have to, I guess, basically resubscribe on through that RSS feed rather than the other one.
Right.
And I'm sorry that we're switching this, but it's actually for the better. It may be a little bit more confusing right at the moment because of us switching it, but it'll be for the better in the long run, with us consolidating everything into one place. And the other part of that is we do the podcast part, but I think we reach both different audiences where you have people that listen, so that'll be great for podcasts, but you have people that only listen or watch on YouTube.
Right.
So I think it'll be best for everybody involved if it's all in one place.
I agree, and our other goal too, as you said in the beginning there, we didn't want there to be a limitation to the number of podcasts or a limitation of only two episodes. And I myself, when I listen to podcasts, there are times when I'll remember something that was in a podcast that was 3, 4 weeks ago, you know. And so oftentimes I'll go back and re-download that podcast to listen to that segment. And so we want to be able to kind of share it the same way and have multiple episodes available if you want to go back in the archive, so to speak.
And that's the thing. You can download the episodes, but you're not going to keep all the episodes on your phone. I mean, that would be ridiculous. So if you need it, you could re-download it. But the way it was before, you couldn't do that. So,
Is it bad?
and even paying for SoundCloud would not allow us to continually keep it because of the fact of the way SoundCloud's set up. So it's better for us and for everybody included to have it on Podomatic.
Is it bad of me, Rocco, that I have all of our episodes downloaded on my phone? That's bad, isn't it?
That's bad. No, I have them too. So I don't even know what I have set for the player as far as settings are concerned of when it deletes it or when it doesn't. So I don't know if there's a time frame that goes by or storage space.
And our goal there is just to kind of keep, we at this point we don't want to get into anything as far as subscription, or we're not asking for payment or anything like that. We just, we enjoy doing the podcast. We want to find an economical way to keep those podcasts up there for the people who enjoy it. And so I think, as you said, Rocco, this is a change for the better. So
Yep, it's definitely a change for the better.
all right, so and we're going to put all the links to the Destination YouTube channel and everything in there in the comments. So Rocco, do you think we'll post this episode in both of our channels again, and then that way everyone will see them in your channel and my channel and know?
I guess we can post it in all three of the channels for this
This
week,
time.
this time, and that way people won't miss out on it.
And then moving forward, everyone will just know where to go from there on out. So.
So.
That was easy.
I got to get one of those.
You
That
do.
would be
They're
great.
pretty fun. So, Rob, what do we got in the news, man?
Well, we've got a little bit of news. We've got some fun news, and then we've got some scary news. So,
What? Fun
yeah.
and scary. It's like
Fun and
a
scary.
roller coaster.
I want to cover let's hit the fun news first.
Okay.
So, I've got a
Fun is
question
good.
for you. Got a question for you before we. So, the first article here. I completely messed up, and it launched right into.
I'm
Well,
still
there's our
recording.
outtake right there.
I'm
So
still
I'm glad you.
recording, so.
All right, we'll pause. So when I hit the link, it didn't launch into the new window as it should have. All right, so we're gonna pick right back up.
We had technical difficulties, that's all.
Yep, that's all right. And here's our outtake.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, so I'm going to start right back up, Rocco. So, did you know that Linux was everywhere?
Rob, Linux is everywhere. That's all I'm saying.
That's right. I mean, it's in our home electronics, our smartphones, our computers, of course. So, this is an article about something I wasn't aware of, and it's kind of cool. I'm into cars a little bit. I've always kind of kept up with what's going on in the car world, and used to subscribe to car magazines back in the day and that kind of thing. So, the Automotive Grade Linux, or the AGL group, it is a group membership that creates software for automobile manufacturers. And these are big names too, Rocco. So you've got Mazda, Suzuki, Honda, Nissan, Ford, and Toyota, which is the world's largest automobile manufacturer. They're all involved with the AGL, and now Daimler, Chrysler, or well, Daimler, Mercedes-Benz, used to be Chrysler, is also joining in on the Linux revolution. This is an article from ZDNet, and it's a fun read, especially if you're interested in both cars and Linux. And so basically, with all the smart cars and everything, you get into a brand new automobile today, and most of them have an infotainment center,
Yep.
And you'll see Google is in the mix there with their system. If you look at most Hyundai vehicles today, they're using Google's platform for that. Very simple platform. Microsoft, a few years back, had a partnership with Ford with NSYNC.
Yep, I actually have NSYNC in my car.
Okay, so there you go. But I think Ford is making some changes there, and I think as time goes on, people will, or these car manufacturers will, embrace Linux more and more because it will allow them to go in and customize it for their particular line of vehicle, as opposed to, okay, well, I'm in a Ford and I'm in a Toyota and they both have the same infotainment center. What's going on there?
Yep. And the article goes on to say, you don't think car manufacturers are software companies, but what they're seeing is they're seeing the potential to basically enhance their line of cars. And this is it's all about the money. So
That's
if
right.
you can make money, and it's not just, it's everybody is involved. Well, not everybody. There's a ton of different companies, like you said, you mentioned a couple of them. And but there's not just car companies either. It's Qualcomm, it's Sinemo,
Easy for you to
ECRI,
say.
yeah, Eureka. I mean, these are not just car companies. These LG's involved.
Right.
So these are all that people get. It's basically going to be a collective of so companies that are combining their efforts to have software that's across the board where they all can be interlinked.
And it looks like they're going to be working off of a unified code base for that. So, there'll be a base platform there, it sounds like, for each manufacturer to kind of build off of. And you know how it is, they partner with various stereo companies. So you might, Infiniti will have their own stereo brand that they've partnered with, so on and so forth.
Yep.
So you could see them kind of getting in the mix together there to say, hey, we've taken this unified code base and this is what we're offering. It's going to be interesting to see.
Samsung's involved, Nvidia's involved, Oracle. I mean, the list goes on and on as far as how many companies are involved in this. I think it's pretty awesome, man.
So could we one day, sit down and interact or gain root access to our vehicle and
Well, that kind of leads us to our next news article, ain't?
Yeah, it does. You're absolutely right. Now, this one's kind of scary, but not as scary, I don't think, for the Linux world, for Linux users, as it would be maybe Windows users. So apparently, the kill disk, which was out targeting Windows systems back in 2015, apparently now they're targeting Linux. They're demanding $250,000 ransom. So this is an article here on We Live Security, and of course we'll have the link in the show notes. But apparently they're now targeting Linux users, and it will render the Linux machine unbootable, and it will also encrypt the files. But the what's interesting here is, not only is that terrible, but it sounds like even if you paid them, they're not able to decrypt the files. So
No,
They're going to sock it to you double.
that's a I'm telling you. Well, see, that's where the Internet of Things comes into play, or like we were just talking about with all them companies combining software. And so basically, if for some reason they get into one part of it, they can get into all of it. And I'm not looking at this article from a technical standpoint. I'm looking at it from an end user standpoint where that's some scary stuff. And the more that Linux gets popular, the more opportunity or chances that it gets visible, the more time hackers have to try to exploit vulnerabilities in it. So I personally think Linux is 100 times safer than Windows. But the
Yep.
more it gets popular, the more open it is to people where they're going to say, you know what? We're going to hack into this. We're going to do this. Now, 99% of all the vulnerabilities out there require you to be doing something ridiculous, standing on one head, holding the meta key, and running a certain program at the same time. Okay,
Right.
so if you're a smart, common sense user, you're going to not have to worry about ransomware, viruses, spyware, especially on
Right.
Linux. And that holds true even in Windows for the most part, where I know I'm going into the Windows realm, but that even holds true for the most part in Windows. If you're a common sense user, you're not clicking on links. I mean, you don't log into your accounts by clicking on an email, stuff like that. I mean, you're not visiting off-road sites. Now, granted, there is tons of malware out there, even on main sites, okay? And that's why I run Linux. But I'm just saying, as a general rule of thumb, you're usually okay on a Windows machine if you use common sense. On a Linux machine, it's even better.
Even on a Linux machine, it is not okay to click on the link of the Nigerian bank that has $125,000
But he wants to
waiting for
send
you.
it to you tomorrow, Rob.
That's right. That's
And
right.
he's just waiting for your info.
That's exactly right. Well, I think about this, and now with KillDisk, and I've got to get deeper into exactly how it targets your system and what it does to your system. But here's kind of one thing I wanted to discuss with you. So now I've got a backup system.
Wait,
Basically,
coffee, Rob?
coffee would be great.
Okay,
Thank you
good.
very much. Yeah. Sounds good. Smells delicious. Is that a new Colombian roast?
It actually is Colombian roast.
So just think about it from the standpoint of how you use your system. Now, I keep all of my important files backed up in the cloud, and you and I have been discussing cloud backup and options there lately, because you're kind of going through some pains, I guess, with certain ways you're keeping things backed up. I'm saying all of this to say, with things backed up in the cloud and with Linux being so easy to quickly reinstall your OS, I just, for me, this doesn't bother me from the standpoint of, all right, so you've locked my system up, okay? You've encrypted all of my files.
Right.
Then I'm just going to, pull out my USB flash drive, and I'm going to reformat my disk and reinstall my OS
Yep.
and laugh at you in the process.
That's pretty much it. You're going to you always should have a backup plan. Now, I'm in between operating systems, like you said, and I ended up, long story short, I have a lot of items on my hard drive, okay, and it takes so long to copy items back over that I was switching distros so often that I didn't copy everything back over. So what happened was my files got fragmented where some were here, some were there. And, not that I would ever be confused about anything, but long story short, I backed up some of it and I did it the wrong way and I lost some files. So I think we should get into talking about backup plans and storage, because that would be a good topic to see what everybody's using
Yep.
and what is the best way for you in particular, me in particular, to do that. But so yeah, I lost a few files, so it's definitely a absolute must to have a backup file. I mean, I know that I think my dad has three different backup solutions
Wow.
that he uses. I mean, just in case, you just never know, and
Rocco, I don't know your father, but I like the man. I mean, he's running Ubuntu. He's got three backup systems.
he's one of a kind, that's all I'm saying. Like I said, he's got a couple backup solutions, and that's, I'm not saying everybody needs three, but you need at least something to have a backup. So what
Right.
do you use, Rob?
Well, I've got to basically two straightforward methods that I use. One is I use Google Apps, Google Drive, the paid version for, within Google Apps for my business documents, business files. And I keep that in sync with a program, a paid program called InSync.
No pun intended.
No pun intended, that's right. What an appropriate name, by the way, for
Right?
your app. It works very well. It basically is the missing client for Linux. It's why we do not have a native Google Drive sync client is beyond me. Now, I know there are a couple of things you can do. There's a couple of programs out there. But for me, the easiest thing, and because I wanted to make sure it was as stable as could be because it's business related, I paid for InSync. It was, $29 for the plus version. And that keeps everything perfectly in sync. resident on my hard drive so I can access it like any other folder,
Right.
And so if I delete it on my system, it deletes in the cloud and vice versa. So I can just simply drag files and folders and programs or whatever over into that folder that is set up under NSYNC, and it'll automatically sync in the cloud. So I use that, and then I use a trusty USB hard drive, that's sitting here off to the side.
Right. Well, I used to, I never had any, I had cloud storage, but I never had utilized it before. So I used to have 2 1-terabyte MyBooks that I would back up to. Unfortunately, they have passed away into existence from old age, and they don't last very long, let me tell you. And I have a couple internal drives that I back up to. So I had backup plans in place. I just didn't, like I said, over the holidays and over trying new things, I didn't stick to the regimen of backing it up and then copying it all back over where it needed to be in order to sync. So what I would do is I'd have it on my drive, and I would actually take a program either. There were times where I used Lucky Backup, which is a nice GUI for rsync. And then there is grsync, which is another GUI for rsync. So it basically, you sync, I would sync my home folder with a folder over on the other drive, and it would delete everything that was there and copy everything over. It would basically delete things that I had deleted from my home folder. It basically did the same thing as NSYNC did.
Okay? Right.
But like I said, I copied I copied half of it over, and not all of it was over on my home folder. So then when I went to sync it, it deleted it over there on the backup because it didn't find it on my home folder. So long story short, I need a new backup solution. So I've been looking at the two options that I have narrowed it down to is pCloud, which is a web-based service that keeps your files on the cloud and not on your computer. So you can access them, but you don't have them actually taking up space on your hard drive.
Gotcha.
Which has its pros and cons. If you don't have internet, you don't have your files, period.
Right.
Which is a big downer. But the upside to that is it doesn't take up any space on your hard drive. So either way. But then the other thing is you could do with a program, you said about Google. Okay. So you look at all the other ones like Dropbox and everything. But as I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at it as an end user, like I said, so I didn't want to go with a company that was in the news for being hacked. Okay.
Right.
And I don't have nothing in my files that I have to worry about somebody finding, but I still don't want people to have them. There's a difference between nothing to hide and it's none of your business. There's a
difference. Right. Such as your Nigerian bank account.
Such as my Nigerian bank account that I didn't acquire yet. But so I have not yet seen Google in the headlines as far as being hacked. You see all these companies, Yahoo and all these companies. So you definitely want to go with somebody that's reputable. The only problem is Google seems unhackable, except for they got the information and who knows what they're doing with it. So there are downsides to Google. But like I said, I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to go with yet.
Well, something you and I have, I think, touched on before, and it's something I would really like to look at setting up, but it's an investment. Is Nextcloud.
Yes.
And, with Nextcloud, you're going to set up a server in your home. You could set it up somewhere else, but ideally you're going to set the server up in your home.
Yep.
And you're going to set up the Nextcloud software and, basically sync into your own cloud server your files and folders and things that you want to back up. And for me, that's very attractive, in that hard drive space is not crazy expensive these days. You could have a couple terabytes of storage today without, getting crazy from a cost standpoint.
Right.
And then set up my own cloud. There's a lot there that's appealing to me about that, from the standpoint of, like you said, You've got Dropbox, who I think have had issues with people gaining access to their servers and things like that. And it's going to happen with Google. I mean, the odds are there,
Yeah. At some point, it will happen. It just hasn't happened as of yet.
Right. So maybe that's something later on in the year, if you or I start to head down that path, maybe that's something we could kind of document, and certainly we could do a podcast on it, because I think that that's something that a lot of people out there would have interest in.
Well, there's pros and cons to that as well. I mean, the pros are that, obviously nobody has access to your stuff.
Right.
You control the access to your stuff, which is awesome. I love that part of it. The other problem is the con to that is that you do have to maintain that server and you do
Yeah.
have to maintain that hardware. So if the hardware dies, it's the same as having a internal drive, except for it's basically out of your system. So it's not on your system, which would be great. I would love it if I could get my internal drives out of my computer, because
Right.
they always seem to cause issues somewhere along the line. So there's pros and cons to both situations. So I think it's definitely a good area to discuss and look at and see what can be done.
Yeah, there's lots of options, and there are new options out there, and I know some of the viewers out there are using, various open source backup solutions, and you're starting to see that in more distros too, where you have backup programs pre-installed and set up for you to do easy backup.
Right.
I love the set it and forget it mentality of I just copy it in this folder and I know it's synchronized.
Yep. Well, InSync is good for that. You put it on and it just syncs everything. So that is a good thing. I'm just not completely 100% sold on Google yet. So.
Well, we'll keep up with that, and maybe that's something. Maybe you'll have a solution by the next episode, and we can kind of talk about what you did.
Well, maybe in the comments on YouTube, people can suggest what they use for backup, cloud storage or internal storage or Nextcloud. You can even send the comments to comments at destinationlinux.net or
Hey,
.tech.
there you go. There you
I got
go.
to get that. One day I'm going to get that right all the way through.
The dot tech. Say one
Yes.
more time.
Comments at destinationlinux.tech.
Awesome. Awesome. Yep. So that'll be helpful, because there's so much out there, and we've got some super smart, super savvy viewers and listeners for sure. So.
Yep, we do. All right, so we went off the track there, Rob, but
That's okay. I love going off the track, man. That's
hey,
for you.
that's what makes the show
That's
normal.
right.
It's a normal show for crying. No, it's not even a show. It's just us talking about stuff. So that's what makes it fun.
Two, we like to pretend normal Linux users.
That's right.
So,
All right, so what do you got for Distro Watch, Rob?
well, there's a lot happening. Actually, I was surprised at kind of what was all going on this year. So, and I'm not going to get into all the details on everything here, but we've got a pretty long list of activity here. You've got KAOS 2017.01. There's a new development release of Red Hat Enterprise Linux. It's 6.9 beta. Blank on version 10. We won't get into why we're chuckling over that one.
We won't.
Netrunner's up to 1701, and then Solus. And I know you've heard of Solus
I
before.
have vaguely before.
So Solus is out with 2017.01.01.0. And so something tells me we may talk a little bit more about that here in just a few. And then another distro here, which I'm not familiar with, Porteus. If I'm probably mispronouncing it, that's a version 3.2.2.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the one I'm thinking of from before that was supposed to be a secure version of Linux or something like that. I forget. So I
Okay.
won't. I'll leave my comments to myself. I may
All
be
right.
confusing it with something else.
Gotcha. And then our friend Jody James has got a new point release of OB Revenge. And so definitely check that out, because I tell you, that guy, he must work all the time, because he's really added a lot to this point release. And I think that sudo reboot has already posted a video and gone through kind of the point release updates and additions and things like that to OB Revenge. So definitely check that out.
I finally installed OB Revenge last night and started
really
taking a look at it. Yep. So I'll maybe in future episodes I'll talk about it. But I just installed it last night, so it went well.
It's a nice distro, and that's one that I think we'll be talking about it definitely more throughout the year, because as often as he's updating and innovations in place there and things that he's doing, it's going to be here to talk about, and I just enjoy that distro.
All I'm going to say about it is, if you didn't know you were on Arch, you wouldn't know that you were on Arch.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Yep. So as we were talking earlier that we were going to discuss Solus OS a little bit, so there's been some good changes, I would say, positive changes within Solus OS.
They are actually updating it pretty quickly lately, and I installed it last night. And you know, when I installed Solus before, it was like foreign to me, okay? And that was way before I installed GNOME and everything else. So it was nice. It was actually nice and modern looking and had a good feel to it, but it was still foreign to me. So then after running GNOME for a while, and then, like I said, last night or the night before, I installed Solus, everything seemed to be a little bit less foreign to me. So it was actually pretty nice. Oh, that's why that's like that. I understood more why things look the way they did. It actually looks really nice. And I love the Raven menu. It's just absolutely awesome. So, yeah, it's definitely got some good things going for it.
So from that standpoint, you know, the first time you install Solus with the Raven side panel and everything, side menu and everything, yep, plus the theming, you can tell they focused in, and it's such a cohesive feel.
It is.
And the Budgie desktop, you got to find your way around a little bit there, because it's different in a lot of ways. But it's just all around a very nice distro.
But it's not different in bad ways though.
No,
because it's just different. You know, you're used to not you in particular, but somebody who installs it, you're used to a certain way. It's the same thing with GNOME. Like, I'm used to a certain way because I'm a KDE user, and I go into GNOME and I'm completely lost until I learn how to do it, and it's like, oh, that's pretty good. And that's the same way Solus is.
And if you have any conversations with anyone who's running Solus for a period of time, more so than what a distro hopper like us would, you know, someone who's running it for a period of months, man, they get locked in and they don't want to run anything else. They absolutely love it. And, you know, and you can see that there's a lot of hard work that has gone into the unifying feel of the UI and the OS as a whole. Which makes it difficult for me to say, right now, I prefer the Mate desktop version of Solus.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I tried to install the Mate version, and I came up with an error. Okay, so it went through the whole install process, and it ended up coming up with an error. But I did boot into the live environment and look at it, and even running on, and I hate to say this, I mean, I'm not down in Solus in any way, but I hate to say this, but even running on the live USB, the Brisk menu is twice as fast as the menu in Solus in Budgie.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I've
got it right here on this spare old monitor and this older piece of Asus hardware I found here. So I've got Solus Mate with the Brisk menu here. And this system is no speed demon, believe you me. And that Brisk menu is the fast. You go to type a word in for search, and dude, it's before I hit the next letter on the key.
Yes.
It's like it's already pulling up and listing. It's so fast.
Well, you can click on the menu in Budgie, and it'll open like a normal, like, you know, KDE will open. When you open the menu in Brisk, it's instant. It reminds me of the Whisker menu in XFCE.
Yes.
It kind of looks similar, but it's got that modern feel to it.
Yeah.
So it's really nice. I mean, Ikey Doherty has done an awesome job at coding that and making it work well. And they're just continually updating it. They're going to be adding the favorite section to it so that you'll have a favorite section along with the recent and the categories. So they're doing such awesome work with it. I love it.
It is awesome. And then, so you just nailed, I think you said it for me there. I hadn't really put it together, but you're right. It kind of reminds me of the XFCE menu as far as speed and kind of layout, but it's so much more modern feeling and looking maybe. And I don't know what it is about XFCE that makes me feel like I'm running something a little too old, like I'm running XP. I really like, no hate mail here, but I really like XFCE.
You opened up the worms. The can of worms is open.
I really like XFCE, but when you jump onto something like this new Brisk menu, it allows you to see and feel, I guess, how it feels dated, XFCE feels dated compared to this new Brisk menu.
Go
Go
ahead.
ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that there's nothing wrong with the Whisker menu. It's a very nice menu, but and you don't really notice the difference when you're using it, okay? But then when you see something else, it's almost like, you're looking through your glasses, or I'll say for me because I wear glasses, but I'm looking through my glasses and I don't realize how much dust is actually accumulated on there until I go like this and I say, wow, holy mackerel. Until I see something else that's clear and I say, wow, that's clear. And then I say, oh my gosh, that's the difference. And that's the same way with the Whisker menu to me, where it's fine and it's great for what it is. And XFCE itself is good. It has tons of customization options. But when you run something else and you see and you compare it to that, you're like, okay, this to me is a better feel. And that's the way the Brisk menu feels to me. It's light. It brings all the optimizations, all of the speed, all of the everything from the Whisker menu, and it puts it into a modern interface and looks great.
It absolutely looks great. And Rocco, it's got me. Okay. All right. So I'm gonna have to have a, I'm gonna have to have a
Here we
session.
go.
I'm gonna have to have a session within
We'll have a
Discord
session, Rob.
Anonymous. Yeah.
We'll have a session.
I'm gonna have to call into the hotline. Because now here's what it's got me thinking.
I'm
Okay,
going to make
so
an email address, DHA at destinationlinux.tech.
that's great. That's great. So all of you distro hoppers who in the middle of the night need help, there'll be
Yes.
an 800 number. But so it's got me thinking, okay, every time I run Solus, I'm like, man, this is so nice. And it feels so stable and it feels fast. And again, even on this old hardware, it just runs great. Okay. So now with this Whisker menu, which again, it's so fast, it's modern, it's laid out the right way. You've got controls where they need to be. And like you said, when they add the favorites, I think that's it. Bam, it's going to be like one of the perfect menus.
It will bring itself up to be one of the best menus out there in any
All right.
distro.
So now, I'm running KDE. I'm loving KDE on Antergos and
Yep.
Antergos and Teragos and all
That
three of
thing.
those. Yeah, that thing.
All of
And
them.
I'm loving it, and it's set up, and it's so sweet. And I keep saying to myself, gosh, I love KDE. I'm so glad I'm running KDE, and this is the desktop I'm going to stay with. But now I'm
Right.
running this thing, and I'm thinking, okay, the only thing missing here in Solus for me really is the AUR.
It's the AUR.
So how would I
And
solve that, Rocco?
that is the one downside to running Solus. Okay. And I'm not, again, I'm not busting on Solus. It's just that that's the one con to running Solus is where you're locked into the software that they have in their databases and
Right.
the ones they have put in. So, for example, and maybe I missed it, but I did not see Chromium in the database in Solus. There's
Right.
Chrome, but I didn't see Chromium. So maybe I missed it, but if that's not in there, that's like a major down point. Now, there may be ways to install software from out, third party other than Solus. But I don't know. So how would you fix using the Brisk menu and still being on Arch?
Well, I wish I didn't know.
But you do know, Rob.
And so now I can't not know it,
Yes.
which would be if you did a successful install of Antergos Mate with
Yep.
the new Brisk menu, which is available in the AUR, right?
It's available in the AUR, yes.
So now I want to back up to something you said. You're right. With Solus, you're going to be limited on their repositories. There's a definite plus to that is that anything that goes into that repository, they have either tested or have a history of as far as stability, how
Yes.
well it runs and interacts. And that's part of what I think makes Solus so sweet is that whatever you're running on here is going to run and run well. It's going to look right. It's they're going to mix it in with the theme as much as possible. The applets are all going to interact and work the way they should.
Right.
You start getting into the applets and things here within Solus, and you realize all the work that's going into it because everything is just the way it should be. So there's a positive side to having that limitation there is that whatever you do install from the from their repository, it's going to work, Now
Yes.
there's always an exception. Things can happen. I heard a little blip where someone asked or started the conversation, and maybe it was the Linux Action Show where they were talking to Ikey about snap packs, flat packs, and boy, did he have a few things to say about that. So,
Yeah, he's got well he had a very strong opinion about this.
and so. But to me, that's almost, and I don't want to get off on that subject. I'm not bringing that up.
Bring it up,
To
Rob.
me,
Bring it up.
yeah, but no, to me, if the, again, if I could just take the AUR and plop it over into Solus
Yeah.
with
But
this
that's
setup.
basically what the long-term goal of snaps or flat packs are, correct? I mean,
Right.
they are the long-term goal is to be able to take a program, install it on any system, and have it be updated constantly by the developers. So to make it easier for the developers to update their own apps rather than to have to update a .deb package and then a PPA or then a tar file or there, so they don't have to update all of these things. They can
Right.
update one item and it'll work on any system. Now they still got to work out the bugs for it, but man, can you imagine?
Oh, it would be. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, honestly. I'm so impressed with this with Mate on here with the Brisk menu. I'm going to go through and I'm going to search for every piece of software that I use day in, day out and see what's there and see what's not.
They already have a selection, a good selection,
They do.
OPS, all kinds of different things, NPass, Password Manager, all kinds of different selections. They already have a good selection. It's just that not everything's in there.
If they don't have it, well, here's the problem. Not if they don't. The problem is this. We both enjoy our YouTube channels, and we're always digging into things. You'll have a viewer who will say, "Hey, check this out.
Yes.
This is an awesome piece of software." Well, chances are, if I go through the AUR, I'm going to find it. Not
Nine
always, but
99% of the time you'll find it.
99% of the time. With Solus, I just don't see that happening, And yes, there are ways to go and build the package out and things like that, but I just simply do not have the time to do that in the arena of wanting to try that to do a video and share with people.
Right. Well, there's a lot of things going on. I mean, you have your channel, you have your videos you want to make, you have life going on.
That's
So,
right.
to have to sit there and do jump through hoops to make something work is not exactly the best for everybody. If you got the time, that's great. And that's kind of where I am with Arch as well. Installing a plain Arch system. If you have the time and to learn and to buy into the researching of everything, that's great. But I don't, at this point in my life, have the time to research everything I need to know in order to make an Arch install work. So
Right.
that's where Antergos comes in, Manjaro comes in, Obi Revenge. So that makes it a whole lot easier.
Right. Well, and so that's where I said, I know what the solution would be here, and you know what the solution is here. In fact, you tried it, which is if I want to experience this environment, this UI that we have here with Mate with the Brisk menu, for me, the logical thing would be to do an install of Antergos with Mate and the Brisk menu and set it up. Now, am I going to miss all the legwork and the UI and the theming and customizations that have gone into Solus? Yeah, that part is not going to be set up for me.
Right.
It would actually be much easier if Ikey would just overnight transition the AUR over to Solus here for us.
I don't know why he can't do that, Rob. It
Would you
seems like a
talk?
simple fix to me. You just plop the AUR right into Solus and you're good, right?
Ikey, if you're listening, and we know you're not.
Probably not. I think he's got way better things to do than listen to this.
I'm sure he does, but if someone knows Ikey that's listening, just please. But no, that would be, that would be awesome. So anyway, it's a great setup. The Brisk menu, I love what they're doing here. When they add favorites, I think we both agree it's going to be an awesome menu.
Well, if you go to their GitHub page, it shows you the planned features that they're actually going to implement at some point, and favorites is one of those. So
Yeah.
I can't wait to see how good it really gets because it's really already I mean, it's brand new. I mean, they
Right.
just started a few months ago, a month or 2 months
Not
ago at the
yeah, not
most,
even yeah, the
and
most
it's already becoming a great menu. Can you imagine in a couple months, a year from now, what it's going to actually be like? So I think it's great.
Now, on the flip side too, Ubuntu Mate users out there. Ubuntu Mate users have access to this now. And so that would be something to kind of hear a little feedback on what your experience with the Brisk menu. I'm sure it's fantastic. I mean, the work there with Martin Wimpress and Ikey collaborating, like we talked about on previous episodes there. I mean, you've got two great talents coming together. Well, and then you've got Elementary OS, some folks from Elementary OS involved there too. So it's all good, man.
Hey, I don't know. I'm going to have to do a little research because I do have Ubuntu Mate installed on another drive. So I'm going to have to do some research on how to install the Brisk on Mate because I don't know if it's readily available or if you got to jump through hoops to install it. So,
Right.
but that would definitely be something to look at right now. Man, can you imagine like
Oh.
Ubuntu Mate with the Brisk menu? I can't wait.
Be nice. Very nice. And then somebody else has got a problem
And then somebody else has got a problem.
with their distro hopping ways.
I tell you what,
Oh.
it just never
So,
ends, man.
yeah, that's right. So, we've had, I think, quite a, actually, let me put it this way. I'll back up. We've had more interaction with the podcast than I expected. We've had some very kind comments and things like that based on the podcast. And so we thought it would be kind of nice to share a couple of those. And then what are we calling this now? We're calling this
We're taking a drive over to the YouTube corner.
the YouTube corner. That's right. We're not going off the YouTube cliff. We're
No,
just
no.
going to go over to the YouTube
Just to
corner.
the corner and look out.
I
See the
like
view.
that. So we've come up with the YouTube corner because you guys are awesome out there, the viewers of our channels and now listeners to the podcast. And so we thought we could combine tips and comments and questions and all of that into the YouTube corner.
Let's just try to keep the questions not so technical. No, I'm just
Yeah.
kidding.
We like simple questions
Simple
here.
questions like, what color's the sky?
That's
That's a good question.
that is a good question. What happens if you right click on the Ubuntu Mate desktop? We can answer those questions. So, but yeah, so if you want to kick us off, Rocco.
So, we had a comment in the last episode from RK, and he asked about installing Ubuntu Mate on a Mac Mini. And he was asking about refind, and he ended up fixing it. He found the solution for himself. And I'll read what he wrote. He says, "I can't believe it, but I solved the problem myself. I was searching the internet and I saw the word no mode set. I used that command to launch the live disk. I thought, of course, I found a web page that told me how to edit my grub file to make permanent, and it worked. Hooray." So I'm happy to see him. There's nothing better that when you're having this issue and it's just driving you nuts and you finally get it fixed. It's just so much relief and like it's exhilaration, you know. Yes, I actually did
Yes.
it. So I'm actually happy that he solved it for himself because that actually makes it better for him. So
That makes it better for him. And when you share that information in a forum where people with similar interest are there, then it helps the community. And so
And it's always there. So it could be, 2 months from now, 6 months from now, somebody comes along that post and that's what helps them fix their problem. So it's just an ongoing thing.
absolutely, absolutely. Then we had a comment about the podcast in particular, from Daniel Gomes. And Daniel just kind of wrote into us, and really, I was blown away by his kind words. He kind of just talks about he listens to the podcast on his way to work. And he even mentioned, Daniel said, whenever our podcast, when Destination Linux podcast comes in, he stops what he's listening to and comes over to, which is, Daniel, thank you so much. I mean, we are glad you enjoy it, and we're glad that you let us know that you're enjoying it. That's awesome to hear because we have no clue really, other than the feedback from, good folks like yourself who just let us know if you like it or not. We do it because we enjoy it, but we don't know if other people enjoy it. Maybe they listen to it just to get a laugh out of us, or a laugh because of us,
Yeah,
maybe.
but we have as much fun making it as people would have listening to it.
I
I
hope
mean,
so. Yep.
that's what's great about it. So, and Daniel's comments were, from the heart, basically. It was
Yeah.
a, it se it seems like he's a down-to-earth guy who's just g going to work every day, and he enjoys listening to the podcast. So that's great. I love it.
Yep, it's awesome, Daniel. Thank you for letting us know, buddy.
All right, so then we have one talking about Antergos. So it's a tip, basically, he's given. So why don't you read the tip and I'll read the next one. How's that?
Yeah, no problem. So this is from Tech Chibi 24. Hello, Tech Chibi. He goes on to talk about, he says, "Hey, I get the feeling that you use Antergos a lot, from the videos we
I don't
make
know
there."
where he gets that from, Ron.
That's right. And so he's talking about the Cinchi installer, which I'm a big fan of, as part of the setup install process, the setup process. So he's got a great tip here. He said that there's a hidden mode which lets you choose some of their unlisted desktop environments. He said that they're not generally available, but it's kind of like for developers. And so, but he says, heck, most of the rolling releases are kind of like for developers anyway. So anyway, to use it, you quit the installer. So you start the install process, and it looks like you then quit the installer, and then you just go into terminal. You open up the terminal, and you type sudo cinchi hyphen dvz, and apparently what that will then do is relaunch the installer in a mode that will allow you to get access to other desktop environments. So I haven't tried it yet, Tech Jibby, but that one's going to be fun to try, and I appreciate the tip. That's an awesome tip. So
That is an awesome tip. Just beware though that don't
yeah.
enable the developer mode and then install it and then say, why is this not working? Because it
Oh.
should be working.
Oh, and I just thought of something, and I don't think that this is the case, but we have to be careful. Just now that I'm thinking about this, we better try these tips before we share them, because you never know what typing a certain command in your terminal is going to launch.
I'm telling you that it's not always the best thing to start typing in terminal.
That's
That's why I said just be careful in what you're doing, in what you're you know what you're expecting. It may not exactly run the way it's supposed to. So
right. That's right.
all right, so there's another question that we have, and I'm not exactly sure about this, so I'll put it out there for you and for everybody else to see what they think. LazeX needs to LazeX, I don't know.
Lasix, yeah.
He needs some advice, and he was wondering if there was a way to normalize the master audio output in Linux. So he says, I love Linux, but I don't like playing movies or music because the audio out is not normalized, and I have to manually adjust the volume levels constantly. So in Windows, I used the K-Lite codec pack, which I remember that too, which has a plugin option to normalize the main audio out. But I can't seem to find a way to do this in Linux. Any help would be greatly appreciated. So I don't know. I'm not an expert in audio. I mean, I do like the sound to be good, but most players, music players, have a gain or something in it to normalize the audio. But that's not going to be across the main system. So, you have may find a music player that does that, but you're not going to find that with that includes videos and everything, unless you wanted to use. I mean, the idea is you want to use your own software, whatever software you prefer, and still be able to normalize the audio. That's what his goal is, I guess. So,
Well,
what do
yeah,
you think?
I don't really have any answers. I'm not an audiophile enough to know on the Linux side what you would use to go in and normalize. Basically, you're talking about normalizing the system sound, correct?
Yes, anything coming out of the main audio output, he wants to normalize it so that he doesn't have to raise and lower the volume.
I wonder if Pulse Audio Control would give you the ability to go in and, I've messed around with Pulse Audio Control and tried to go in and set various settings, but I just don't know. We don't know, but we're going to toss it out there for people who know much better than we do. What would you use to do that? I have to think there has to be something.
There has to be something. Well, there doesn't have to be something. I mean, it couldn't be. There may be. That may be something that you can't do.
We really, really want there to be
We
something.
want there to be something, but I don't know if there actually is. So, if anybody has any tips, like I said, post them in the YouTube comments or email them to comments at destinationlinux.tech. I got it
There
right.
you go. You got it. Good job. Good job. And we've got one more. Is that right?
We have, let's see here. Hold on. I don't know if, oh, yes, we do. Matter of fact, I lost my train of thought there.
Well, I've got it here. I've got it pulled up if you'd
Do
like for
it.
me to.
Do it.
But
I'm
yeah.
actually going to pull up another one as well.
So this was an email here directly to Destination Linux. So I'm just going to read through this. Dear R&R, I have a friend who would like to try Linux on a now middling Mac desktop, as I have convinced him that the performance would be better. I directed him to KDE Neon, which, after watching your terrific year-end show, was not the best idea. Mate would have been a better choice. But I noticed that when one downloads a distribution, it seems that the resulting ISO corresponds to the host my PC, he's saying there in quotation, processors make, mine being an AMD. So what he was wanting to basically, and I'm not going to go through all of the details here, but his friend has an Intel-based Mac, and he said that when he goes to pull in or download the ISO, should he be choosing the ISO that states that it's an AMD 386 ISO? So let's see here. I want to make sure I'm not missing anything else that would be pertinent to the question. So he says, is there a general problem with Mac machines and Linux when the Mac employs an Intel processor? Hopefully, I was able to explain that to where everyone's got the gist of it. Oh, well, let me go back. I'm sorry. That is from R.F. Whitmer.
So I have never installed Linux on a Mac, and I'm not technical enough to know what you have to do. So if anybody can help us out here, that would be great. But according to Macworld, it's very simple to install a Linux distribution on Mac, with granted if that you actually follow the tutorial that they have. And I'll post a link to a tutorial that they have for installing a Linux distribution on a Mac. But basically, you download the ISO. They suggest you burn it with Etcher, but that's doesn't you don't have to burn it with Etcher. You can burn it with one of the other ones. You choose the normal, and they recommend you choose the normal Ubuntu 16.04.1 desktop image, which is the AMD 64. You flash it to a drive, and then what happens is when you boot up into this, let's see here. Makes put the drive in, matches your thumb drive in size. It should be disk one. If you only have a single hard drive in your Mac, or disk two, disk three, and so on. So you pick the drive. Do not pick disk zero, because that's your hard drive.
Right.
You definitely don't want to flash it to the wrong drive. Okay, so you power up, and the main thing of this is you choose the EFI boot option. Now, that may be part of the problem where it has to do with UEFI enabled, maybe. I don't know, depending on what system he's running. People might need more info as far as that is concerned to actually help. But you edit the line. You'll see a black screen with the options to try Ubuntu or install Ubuntu. And it says don't choose either. You press E to edit the boot entry. And you edit the line. And I'm not going to read out the whole sentence, but it also has to do with that no mode set that RK solved his problem with. Okay. And you put it in a specific line, and then it'll actually install after you reboot. So
what we're going to do here, we're going to put the link to this article in the notes for Whit. And by the way, Whit, I wanted to say hello, and you are our first emailer to comments at destinationlinux.tech.
Yep, first one.
Yep, so thanks, Whit, and we appreciate you listening too, Whit. So we're going to post the link to that article, which sounds like it may be helpful. But also, we would just like to ask again, any of you Linux fans out there who are experienced with running Linux on Mac or installing Linux on Mac, because I am personally not, and Rocco, you've never really run a Mac or installed Linux on a Mac. So
no.
We're kind of at a loss there, but we do want to help you. And so we're going to call out any of our Mac Linux users to offer up any advice there that would be helpful for this particular question from Whit.
Somebody's got to know, Rob.
Right. That's right. So, well, Rocco, does that wrap us up for this show?
I think that pretty much wraps us up for today, Rob.
Yeah. Well, this has been fun. I feel like there's more we should be discussing, but there's always something out there going on with Linux that leads me to think that anyway. So.
Yeah. Well, we could probably talk for another hour about just anything.
I'm sure. But unfortunately, I've got 8 inches of snow to deal with out there on the driveway. But, you know, I've got a strapping young 13-year-old and a shovel.
That's right. And you know what that does?
That was easy.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up from here. We appreciate you all watching. And again, let's recap, Rocco. So they're going to find moving forward from this episode to episode 5. So episode 5 will not be posted on your YouTube channel or mine. It'll only be posted on the Destination Linux YouTube channel.
Correct.
And so moving forward. And then we'll have our new podcast host, which we'll put the link for, is now
Podomatic.
I don't know why that name escapes me.
Well, it's important that you subscribe through the Podomatic RSS feed, because it won't no longer be going to the SoundCloud RSS feed.
Right.
This week I will put it to the SoundCloud RSS feed, but starting next week, it won't be. So it's important that you subscribe to that one. Otherwise, you won't get it anymore.
But if listeners are still pulling through iTunes or Stitcher or something like that, the RSS feed should still be there for that as well.
Well, the RSS feed will still be there. It just won't be updated.
Okay.
There'll be a new iTunes, basically a new iTunes link for the new RSS feed. So they'll have to basically resubscribe. Just the same as they're going to have to subscribe to the Destination Linux YouTube channel in order to get the videos.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, very good.
And that's the first and last time I will ask anybody to subscribe to a YouTube channel. I absolutely hate when people say, hey, like, subscribe our video. You know, the only reason I ask you or say about it at all is because you won't get it if you don't. So
that's right.
Because it's switching.
That's right. We just feel like that'll be helpful moving forward. So, and again, we appreciate you all watching. We appreciate the viewer tips, and we look forward to more questions. Although, again, we're not, you know, we're just two average guys that use Linux. I'm not an IT professional. I've never even played one on TV. and
But I did stay at a Holiday Inn
holiday.
Express last night.
So we're happy to post your questions, but we can't always answer those questions for you. But our goal is, as we kind of move forward with the show, is to put it out there and let the community help as well. So hopefully that'll all work out in future episodes. So again, appreciate you watching, and I guess we'll wrap it up from there. Have a good one, Rocco.
See you, Rob.
All right, take care.
See you, man.